Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. There's a popular Peanuts cartoon that has Lucy and Linus were sitting in front of the television watching a show. And Lucy said to Linus, "Go get me a drink of water." Linus looked surprised. He says, "Why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me." Lucy said, "On your 75th birthday, I promise I'll bake you a cake." Linus got up, headed to the kitchen and said, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." And that is a question I want to ask today. What is it we look forward to? And that is something we have to comprehend or ponder. This coming Tuesday is the feast day of in the life of the church. It's the feast day of St. Nicholas. It's also the day on which I chose to be ordained a priest. Nicholas was the bishop of Myra in the late 300s. Though under Greek rule at the time, it is in today's present-day Turkey. We don't know much about Nicholas, but we do know a few things. One, he was probably at the first council of Nicaea, where the Nicene Creed was established and written. He was filled with God's Spirit. We know that because we know that when he prayed, there was many incidences of miracles that took place when he prayed for people. And of course, what we know most about Nicholas is his love of families and children. He would secretly leave gifts at the doorsteps of poor families and children. So we can surmise that Nicholas had a strong faith, his ministry brought hope to many, and he had unselfish love for others. Paul tells us, when all else has passed away, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And it is hope that I want to center on today in our message. What is hope? We say it a lot. Sometimes we treat the word like a wish, or wanting something to go our way. "Well, I hope I win the lottery this week." We can tag anything we want to on the word hope. Webster defines hope, however, like this: to cherish a desire with anticipation. When you want something so bad, you can't wait until it happens. There is a Hallmark commercial that came out several years ago that advertises a little girl with a new ornament that they came out with that counts down the time until Christmas, in the days, the hours, the minutes, and the seconds. And this little girl is running around to every family member she can think of, counting down the days until Christmas comes. Now, to some parents, that might be a little bit irritating. But I checked it out, and they still have it, so I bought one for our 8-year-old granddaughter and 5-year-old grandson and sent it to them this week. I did warn our daughter that it's coming. But this little girl in the commercial is so filled with anticipation. She sleeps with this thing, waiting for the right time, at the right moment when Christmas will be there. The commercial depicts this little girl cherishing a desire with anticipation. As one commentary puts it, hope is an essential and fundamental element of Christian life. So essential, indeed, that like faith and love, it can itself designate the essence of Christianity. Peter tells us in his first epistle, "But in your spirit, regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you." Every believer in Christ has at the core of their belief hope. That is just a part of our makeup. Two of our lessons today demonstrate what we're talking about. First, let's look at John the Baptist. We have heard a lot about John the Baptist before. To some, especially those outside the faith, John is just this weird guy out in the desert doing weird things. Look at the way he dressed: camel hair and a leather belt. That is one scratchy piece of clothing. Look at what he ate: locusts and wild honey. I could probably get along with the honey, but I don't know about eating large grasshoppers. That's just a little bit out there. But John the Baptist was not a polished theologian. He was not an educated Pharisee who hung out in the temple. He was not a socialite who was revered by many for his wealth and good looks. The way this dude lived is in the desert eating insects and wearing scratchy clothing. But yet, he was drawing a crowd. As prophesied, he came in the spirit of Elijah. Now, what does that mean? His words were powerful. They were authoritative. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit was on him as he was chosen by God for this task, for this moment, at that particular time in history to do what he did. Because of that, the people came from all around just to see who he was and to hear what he had to say. I believe he was this way because no one could make some false pretense about who John was. John's call was a fulfillment of prophecies, words that came hundreds of years before his ministry began. God has orchestrated this wonderful event that is unfolding, and John is the voice of one calling. In today's gospel reading, we see the intensity of John's ministry when he begins his message. And his message was his mission. He challenged his listeners. You see, there was a traditional thought that just being a Jew was all it needed, was needed. If you descended from Abraham, if you obey the law, if you follow the traditions, you're in. But then John comes along with some pretty harsh warnings. But they were words of hope. He wanted them to understand there's more. As Jews, they should have known about the coming of the Messiah. He's coming, and John doesn't want them to miss it. If all God wanted were people who were going through traditions, he could set up the rocks to do that. But that's not what God desires. He wants a changed heart. He wants a people who are in a living, breathing relationship with him. He wants a people who seek him out because that is the longing and the desire of their heart. He wants a people who by choice choose to come to him because they love him. Not just because there's this line of people that date back to Abraham. Yes, he chose Abraham and the Hebrew people to be the ones to carry out this task through history, calling people back to himself. But somewhere along the line, they lost the focus. They lost the relationship. They no longer saw God as in a relational way. The leadership had taken their hearts away from the hope that once were in the people. So here comes John the Baptist, and people are listening. People were being touched by the message and getting excited about what was being said. A message of repentance and preparation. A message of hope. John is baptizing with water. That means John was getting the heart ready and seeking forgiveness and repentance. But John reminds them, there is one coming who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that means that the heart will be changed and purified by the Holy Spirit, but also speaks to judgment on those who refuse, as we heard in our reading. John is literally opening the door to the New Testament. All that waiting, all that preparation, all that those prophetic words that have been spoken over the years are coming to a close. There's a new covenant God is making, and this is how you get there. Through that door is Jesus Christ, the ultimate fulfillment of all hope, the Messiah. All that makes us complete, all that fills a hungry soul, all that sustains a longing heart. Listen to Paul's words to the Roman church. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. In other words, that which was foretold before Christ was there for our instruction to teach us and to encourage us for this moment, that we might have hope. All that was said would happen, did happen, and will happen. When you have no hope, you feel empty. There's a story of a missionary who was in Nigeria and needed some blood work done. So he went to the clinic and was waiting. And there was a young boy there who had never been to the medical clinic before and was really terrified about what he was about to go through because he's never done it before. And then the person in a white coat comes out and calls the young boy's name. And the boy got up begrudgingly and he cried out in a loud voice in his native tongue, "Wail," which means, "There's no hope for me. I'm a goner. This is the last you'll ever see of me." You see, that is what it feels like spiritually without Christ. I'm a goner. What is there to look forward to? What is there to gain? Where is my hope in eternity? We only know what we fill our lives with in the here and now. But God has so much more for us. Did you hear what Isaiah prophesied in the hope that he saw in Christ, who he called the root of Jesse? The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge. And as Paul emphasizes and reiterates Isaiah in the readings that we just heard, that promise that Jesus is passed on to the church. You now can have wisdom. You can have counsel. You can have that knowledge that he gives us. It is all passed on to us by Jesus through his spirit that he has given us. And we continue to grow in that through his word, through prayer, by seeking after him with all of our heart. The hope we have in Christ is to grow in Christ. And that hope is to open to all who will receive him. Jew or Gentile, God is calling all people to himself. And when that hope enters into you by the Spirit, you know where your hope is. It becomes a part of you. Again, Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Did you get that? God, by his Spirit, fills us with joy and peace just in believing. And through that faith in believing, you may abound in hope that is overflowing, that is an abundance of hope. What do you hope for today? This time of year, that question can be answered in so many ways. That little girl in the commercial, who knows what dreams she had that would make her or any child hopeful. In the character that she is portraying, she may wake up excited or disappointed, depending on what she was hoping for. We could put a lot of worldly hope into things. Some might be good, some might not be so good. But church, listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world just as he said he would. Just as it was prophesied by John and all the prophets before him. He opened the door for all to walk in and receive him. He released the Spirit, his Spirit, onto his church, his people who would receive him. And he left the church true hope. Hope that will not fail. Hope that will sustain us and feed us. He has gifted the church with power by his Spirit to carry out his work and bring that same hope to a troubled world who is also searching for hope in something. And here is the greatest hope of all. Jesus will return. The clock is ticking. The days, the hours, the minutes, and the seconds. There's a real countdown taking place, a real time of his return. But only God knows that time. But then we will be with him forever. But until then, may that hope that abounds in us, be ignited and offered to the world around us. May they see the hope that you see. May they experience what you experience. May they too cherish that desire with anticipation that you cherish each and every day that you walk out your life with Christ. He is seeking after everyone. And church, we are the ones to carry that to others. We are the ones to share the hope that we have. May it be so. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hope that you have given each of us who call on you. We know, Lord, that you are there. We know, Lord, that you will return. And we look forward to that day. So, Father, as you use us here now in this present time, Father, fill us to overflowing with that hope. And help us, Lord God, to be willing to share it with whoever you put in our path, whoever is ready to receive. And we thank you, Father. And we give it to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.